angels can be nice. They can be accommodating. They can be real pains. Angels can. Yeah, I'm glad we don't have to mess with them. Sometimes you just can't trust an angel. Remember, it was Martin Zender who told you that. You just can't trust an angel some days. Hello, everybody. This is Martin Zender once again, and we are beginning another week of in-depth scriptural studies, not for the sake of getting smarter, even though we're getting smarter by the day, but for the fact of getting sane, getting our sanity and our wits about us, to understand what God's doing in the big picture, to understand what words of the scripture are for us and what words are for Israel, not to strain ourselves to pay someone else's bill. How would you like to have all your neighbor's bills misdelivered to you, and you never look at the address, and you rip open the envelope, and you are strained and vexed, pressured to pay these bills? Well, you got to look at the address on the envelope. Hebrews is not written to you. You don't have to perform. You don't need rituals. You don't need baptism. You don't even need to repent. Repentance merely means change of mind. Paul uses the word, but in his gospel, it's the generic meaning, not the ceremonial meaning. Ceremonial meaning is you must repent in order to be saved. That's circumcision. We change our mind about God when the grace of God is presented to us. Repentance comes after the work of God, not before. The circumcision evangel, repentance is a requirement. It's a prerequisite, not with us. So, back to angels. In the day of the law came down through the mediation of messengers. That's a concordant word, messenger. That's what the literal meaning of angel is, angelios. In the Greek, it's a messenger. It's generic. A human can be an angel in that sense, a messenger boy. But it does speak, this literal meaning, of the low caste of the heavenly order that angels occupy. They are messenger boys. They get coffee. They bring messages. That's exactly what they do. Look what Gabriel did. Oh, look what Michael did. They come down and they hand over messages. So the law came through a mandate of messengers, as we're going to read here momentarily from Stephen's inspired soliloquy just before people threw heavy rocks at him and caused him to die. Because God did not, this is the meaning, this is the reason why the law was handed down to Moses through angels. God himself didn't come down, even if he could, he's invisible, whatever, but these creatures came down because God wanted to distance the law from his heart. See, it's not really him. But then when he's ready to bring grace and truth and peace, he unveils his heart through Christ. Christ is the nearest and dearest being to him. So that's how we know that that's the true God, is that he gives his heart over to us through his dearest, dearest creation, that is the Son of his love. With the law, however, he knew it was a temporary expedient to get people locked up in stubbornness and in trying to please him. So he distanced himself. He distanced himself from the presentation of it. That's why he gave it to angels. All this to comment, however you wish, on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. You have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, celestial Jerusalem. That is this Jerusalem that descends from the celestial realm. It's not located there. It descends from there. It's celestial in character, not location. And to 10,000 messengers, to a universal convocation and the ecclesia of the firstborn. I'm going to get to the ecclesia of the firstborn tomorrow, but for now, let's talk about the 10,000 messengers and to a universal convocation, if I even get through that today. The messengers or angels are really exclusive to Israel. We don't hear Paul mentioning them in ministering to the body of Christ. Why is this? Because we as a people are nearer to him. We are sons and daughters. We are the body of Christ. They're the bride of the Lamb, Israel is. So a bride is more a distant relationship. Martin, how can there be any closer relationship than a bride to a bridegroom? Well, this way, if you're the body of the bridegroom, and we are. And so Christ himself is our help. We're a part of him. He takes care of us just like his own body because we are his own body. So the fact that you don't have ministering angels flitting around you, the fact that you don't see beings with wings and eyes and hear voices is because you are nearer and dearer to God than that. He would not do that to you. What? You don't want to have this close relationship? If you see an angel, you're probably on the Israelite plane, because angels were very involved in their history. Not the least of which, the event on Mount Sinai, which our friend Stephen is about to explain to us here in Acts chapter 7. Let's start with verse 51, because I always love when these strong men of God call the established religious hierarchy stiff-necked and uncircumcised. Love that, and there's a great opportunity. I'm not going to pass it up. Acts 7, verse 51. Stephen, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your hearts and ears, you are ever clashing with the Holy Spirit. As your fathers, you also. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? Name one. And they couldn't. And they kill those who announced before concerning the coming of the Just One, of whom now you became the traitors and murderers, who got the law for a mandate of messengers and do not maintain it. You got the law from a mandate of messengers, actually for a mandate of messengers, but the literal is into a mandate of messengers. I don't know why I mention it, because at this time I do not understand the significance of it. But before I talk about the messengers, look at verse 54 here. Now, hearing these things, that is, the priests, the Sanhedrin, who were present with stones in their hands, giving this man an opportunity to defend himself. And I love how he defends himself. He doesn't say, look, I'm sorry. It's all wrong. This is a giant misunderstanding. You know, I really respect you guys. You guys are really working hard to maintain, you know, the standards and the church around here. And you really keep the sanctuary up very nicely. And I just want to say that, you know, I just wish this hadn't happened, and kumbaya, peace and love. No, he doesn't, because when people are in a fix like this, and many of you, I encourage you to be this bold toward those of you you want to know the truth. Stand up for it, because look at this. This man's fighting for his life, but he's not, because his life in this world is cheap to him. He doesn't care about it. What does he care about? The next life. Now we're talking. And I feel so sorry for pastors and priests today who have a suspicion that what we're telling them is true, but they can't teach it publicly because they're afraid of their position. They're afraid of their congregations. They're afraid of their bosses. They're afraid of their wives, their husbands, whatever. So they just try to get along with everybody. I hope I'm not upsetting you, but I don't hear Stephen prefacing his comments with, I hope I'm not upsetting you, but instead, stiff-necked, uncircumcised. Now that's ballsy. I'm sorry, but to say this in front of people who are holding large rocks in their hands, and to look at them and say, you people have the problem, that is amazing. That's amazing faith. And I know it doesn't come to you until you're in a sticky wicket like this. And a lot of you are there, not to this degree, but you're at a branch in the road, aren't you? I'm hearing from you. You're debating whether to make the big move toward telling this to people that you know will be upset. And yet, what are you trying to do? You're trying to protect your present situation. Let me ask you this. How great, how comfortable, how wonderful is your present situation? All right. Stephen's present situation was the ecclesias everywhere were being persecuted. And so that wasn't a great situation. Why would you want to protect the status quo? Is anyone's status quo worth protecting? Anybody out there? I don't care how luxurious you may be situated in this life, really, honestly, assess it. Be honest with where you are. Is it not better to look the establishment in the face and say, stiff-necked, uncircumcised people, you're always clashing with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? They could stone you, but it could also disarm them. It could also shock them into a realization of the truth. In 1996, I taught a series of messages in Florida and South Carolina called Exposure and Rebuke. And a lot of people didn't like it because they thought I was being mean. But my saying is, this is an era of grace, not an era of nice. And so I'm being gracious by telling people the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So, boy, am I getting off the subject of angels. But here's this. I love it. Now, they heard, they were harrowed in their hearts, gnashed their teeth at him. Now, possessing the fullness of faith and Holy Spirit, looking intently into heaven, Stephen perceived the glory of God and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, "Lo, I'm beholding the heavens opened." I can't go on here because I start to cry. Every freaking time I think of Stephen kneeling in the stoning pit, looking up to heaven and seeing the smile of God. God's going to give you this when you need it. He is going to give you this. He really is. So, but look at the contrast is that the law came through a mandate of messengers according to Stephen. But now in the coming day of Israel's trial and her eventual vindication and entrance into the kingdom, there are also going to be messengers. And now let's look at Hebrews 1:14 for the contrast. This is Paul drawing a contrast. So we're going back to chapter and verse we've long since left, but here it is, Hebrews 1:14. For context, let's start with verse 13. Now, to which of the messengers has he declared at any time, "Sit at my right hand till I should be placing thine enemies for a footstool for thy feet"? He's contrasting Jesus Christ with the mere messengers, the celestial one with subordinate celestial ones. And then he says this, "Are they not all," in other words, the messengers, "are they not all ministering spirits commissioned for service because of those who are about to be enjoying the allotment of salvation?" Now, the first question you need to ask yourself is, what is the salvation of the context? It's so very important. You know, Paul says, and this has messed a lot of people up, Paul says to Timothy concerning women that they shall be saved by the childbearing, that by bearing children they will save themselves. Oh, I have a new doctrine now that you have to have a baby to be saved. Oh, let's ask this question. What is the salvation of the context? In that context, it was salvation from the stigma of having bought the line of the adversary and bringing the fruit to Adam. That was a stigma placed on Eve. And she is delivered from it because she ends up producing the coming one, the promised one, that undoes the work of the adversary. So the salvation here is the salvation of Israelites. So before, when there were angels who were maybe kind of grumpy because they had to bring the law to Mount Sinai and they thundered down from heaven and Moses shook and trembled, and they weren't very happy angels back then. They had stern faces because they had an important job to do. Yet here, they are called ministering spirits commissioned for service because of those about to be enjoying. We have wonderful words here, enjoying, salvation, ministering spirits for service. Now when the hour has finally come for these people to be delivered to their destiny, these angels are now to be of service, much like they were when our Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane and angels were dispatched to him to comfort them. Now they are a comfort to Israel. But what's the common denominator here as we close here for this Monday? The common denominator here is, and I want you to take this with you, angels are for Israel, whether they're bringing the law all stern-faced, or they're gathering to surround and bless and comfort and minister to a nation about to enter into her celestial allotment. We are not ministered to by angels. Ministering spirits, I'm happy for them. I am thankful they exist for the people of Israel. We have a much closer relationship to Jesus Christ than bride, because we are members of his body.